All right, welcome back to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. It's a Monday, and that means Brady Beaton is going to join us. Normally, we would talk about the Lions, Brady, but of course, they had the bye week this week, so I can't complain about them at all because they couldn't possibly have done anything wrong. They didn't play. What I will ask about, though, is this. The NFC North, Brady. Green Bay, 4-1. The Lions, 2-1-1. The Bears and the Vikings, both 3-2. It's the only division in the NFL where all the teams have a winning record. Based on those numbers, is this the best division in football? And should we be giving these teams a little more credit than maybe we have?
Short answer, yeah, I'd say they are the best division in football. I'm trying to think of, go through every division, and every one has at least one really weak point, and I don't think there really is one in the North. I still think Chicago might be the worst team. I know their defense is unreal, but their offense is so bad, and they just lost to Oakland in kind of bad fashion. I don't think they're a real playoff. I don't think – I've said it since before the season. I think they're a 500 football team. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota – I still don't know. I don't trust them yet. But I think Green Bay's legit. And if you want to talk division, if you want to talk, you know, winning, getting a home playoff game, go into Lambeau and win. Because if you fall to 2-2-1 and the Packers are 5-1, yeah, that's a lot of ground to make up to win a division. And I don't think it'll happen if you lose this game. However, you win. You're 3-1-1. The Packers are 4-2. You're a half game back. And with another game against them, yeah, if they go into Lambeau and win on Monday night, that very much legitimizes this team.
Okay, because now I was going to ask you something kind of in the negative light, but that's how I am. So the Chiefs lose to the Colts. Does that lessen the Lions' effort against the Chiefs in any way in your mind?
Maybe a little, but nothing significant. They didn't look good, but I think the Colts are a very good team. They were missing some pieces. I know Malik Hooker didn't play for them, but a little bit, but nothing. Like, I'm not like, oh, no, the Chiefs really aren't that good. Panic button. I'm just getting ready to see what the Lions can do against Green Bay, because that's really going to be the ultimate prove it.
We've seen some strange games in the NFL already this year. Miami tanked a few early in the season, and there were some embarrassing scores. How about Deshaun Watson? 426 yards and 5 touchdowns as the Texans put 53 points up on the Falcons. What's going on in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons are a team that if you want to see a moment that broke a team's back, go back to that Super Bowl. I mean, think about what we were talking about after that Super Bowl, how the Falcons had a young core, they're moving forward, they're going to be back. They've been kind of in, not free fall, but, I mean, this year they're bad. They're a bad football team. They got ran by Minnesota. They got ran by the Texans. The Falcons are a weird team to look at. The Patriots, yeah, they're doing Patriots things, but look, if the Lions played that schedule, they might be undefeated too. The AFC North is a weird one. I think the Ravens are the best team. I don't trust the Browns yet. The Steelers, I mean, they're on their third quarterback now, and they don't have a first-round pick this year, so they're in danger. The Bengals are just bad. So, yeah, are the Rams as good as we thought they were? I mean, if you go look since, I believe it was like week 11 last year or week 12, Jared Goff's numbers aren't that good in his last like 10 or so games. So, yeah, you're right. The NFL has been a little weird this year.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the only two quarterbacks that are undefeated this year, Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. So,
interesting. Yeah. You brought up Pittsburgh and going to their third quarterback now. Did you see the hit?
I did. And watching it didn't, like, if you didn't know the result, you'd see the hit and just go, ooh, he got rocked. Not, oh, no, what, like, is he okay? But whenever someone's lying unconscious and not moving, that's a scary sight.
Well, it looked like it hit him right in the jaw, you know?
So. Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like to me, too. But it didn't look like – like, when you first saw the hit, did you think, oh, my God, he's going to be out?
Or
did
no, you just yeah, think, ooh. No. I thought, yeah, ooh, that's a big hit there. But, yeah, I didn't expect him to be unconscious or in the situation that he was in, because he was down for a long time, too.
He was. And then the cart broke down, so he had to walk off the field. Like, come on, you can't let him walk off the field after that. Just get him to where he needs to be. Bring the ambulance out if you have to, but that seemed a little bush league to me.
All right, Michigan beats Iowa 10-3. I know if you're looking at it negatively, you're going to still have questions about their offense, but I'm going to give props this week to the Wolverine defense. I think they held Iowa to 1 yard rushing, 8 sacks, and they forced 4 turnovers. That's a pretty good effort.
No, it is. I mean, Iowa didn't play great by any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't. If I'm a Michigan fan, it doesn't instill confidence in me going into a Notre Dame or going into a Michigan State game or playing Ohio State. But, you know, yeah, their defense played well, but Iowa is not exactly known for lighting up the scoreboard.
All right, Ohio State didn't have much problems with Michigan State. You know what? The Spartans shot themselves in the foot a couple times, too. They could have made this a more interesting football game than it ended up being. But, man, Ohio State is tough, Brady. Now that I've actually watched them play, they're tough.
They might be the best team in the country. They basically sleptwalk through this Michigan State game and beat them by, what was it, 24? This Ohio State team might be the best Ohio State team in recent memory. Their defense is swarming. They have weapons everywhere on offense. And you're right, Michigan State played a decent game. Like, the score won't – you wouldn't think it was a good game, but you're right. They shot themselves in the foot. But Ohio State's that dang good.
Yeah, I'm a believer now. They've got them tied with Georgia at number 3, which is dumb. Make one of them number 3, make one of them number 4, and make a decision here, people that vote on this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's really good. LSU might be one of those teams that knocks off Alabama. I think LSU is legit. But until Alabama or Clemson lose, it's gonna be those two at the top.
All right, other Big Ten teams, Wisconsin's number 8 this week, Penn State's number 10, Michigan's 16, Iowa drops to 17, and Michigan State dropped right out of the top 25 for the second time this year. How far behind the other conferences is the Big Ten, or is it just as good as everybody else?
I think they're probably the second-best conference. I think the SEC is just – they have a lot of teams on a good year. I think Georgia is on a very good year. I think LSU, like I just said, is on a very good year. Florida's on a good year. Auburn's on a good year. So I would say the SEC is better this year, but I think the Big Ten is solidly number 2.
All right, after an 0-2 start to the season, the Wayne State Warriors have won 3 straight, Brady Beaton. Knocked off number 25 SVSU a couple weeks ago, and you guys went up to the Superior Dome this weekend and beat Northern 27-14 to go to 3-2 on the season. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
What's turned it around for you guys?
We, I don't know, just stopped shooting ourselves in the foot. Just started playing how we played. I mean, you're going to get me going from analyst mode to player mode here talking, so you're not going to get a whole lot from me now. But, yeah, we're just playing how we should play, and our goal is just to not beat ourselves.
All right, you got homecoming this week against Ferris State. What's your chances against the Bulldogs?
The two undefeated teams in the GLIAC playing for first place. It's going to be a fun game. Good game last year. I expect another tough, gritty game this year. There's a lot of emotions in it.
And you kicked that one off at 6 o'clock down at Wayne
6
State.
6 p.m. at Tom Adams Field.
There you go. Good stuff there. Wings are off to a 2-0 start. Have you had an opportunity to see any of the games?
I was able to watch the third period of the Stars game, but isn't it nice to have the young guys doing what we always thought they should do, even though if it's only through two games? Isn't it nice to see Anthony Mantha explode for four goals, to see that first line? What is it, 12 points through two games, or like 16 points through two games?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I love that Larkin, Bertuzzi, and Mantha are doing what they're doing. But I am very, 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 very fearful of the fact that there isn't anything else going on with the rest of the Wings. They need Anthony Seau back. They need at least a second scoring line, because Mantha isn't going to score four goals every game, and that line isn't going to get 9 points every game like they've done in the first two games. They're going to have nights where they get shut down, and the Wings are going to have to get scoring from someplace else. And I'll tell you what, the line of De La Rose, Abdelkader, and Helm isn't going to score any goals.
No.
And the line with Glendening and N isn't going to score you a lot of goals. So guys like Nielsen and Filppula and Hirose, and when they get Athens to see you back, they've got to somehow chisel together a second line there that scores.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. But it's been two games, and you can look at that both positively and negatively. Positively, okay, they have time to figure out who's going to score, get Anthony Seau back, let Hirose get working, and negatively saying, well, Mantha and Bertuzzi and that whole line is going to have to is going to cool down eventually. But after how many games would you say before you can really judge what this team is? Because, you know, Sparky Anderson, what was it, after 40 games you knew the identity of a baseball team. After how many games would you say will we know the identity of this Red Wing team?
I think in the NHL it's a little quicker. Plus, it's important early in the season to have it together, because points you don't get now are going to cost you at the finish line. So I think after 10 games we'll know what kind of a team the Red Wings have.
I would have said about probably by the start of December. So that would be what, 15 to 20 games?
Well, they're busy. I think they play 16 in November.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know it's their busiest month of the season or something crazy like
so
that.
That's probably closer to, what, 30 games?
Yeah. So, but, you know, here's the thing. They're going to be as good as their goaltending, which was good in the first two games. They're going to be as good as their defense, which Erickson is out and Daly got hurt last night, which I'm going to say is a good thing. Because now it means Madison Bowie, who I think was one of the Wings' best players in training camp, will get into the lineup tomorrow night against Anaheim for sure. But my big thing, and it's been a big thing for the last couple of years, who's going to score the goals? Well, we know Larkin, Mantha, and Bertuzzi look like they've come to play, at least here in the early going. It's got to be who are my secondary scorers now.
Right. Are you going to get a second or third liner that can give you 15 to 20 goals for the season?
Yeah.
That can just give you that depth that really hasn't been around in the last few years.
Because I'm going to tell you this, too. Grand Rapids scored 8 in their first game. And they've got some kids down there that can put the puck in the net. And big games for Svechnikov and Giovanni Smith. The bad news is Zadina and Valeno were no-shows in that one. Zadina was a -2.
Yeah, that's starting just to enter the worry radar, just a little.
It's still early, but I'm starting to get that queasy feeling in my stomach about him, too.
Anywhere near the panic button, but I'm at least keeping an eye on him now, saying, all right, are we going to turn this around? Are we going to turn this around? Are we going to turn this around?
Yeah. All right. Hey, Brady, as always, it's a lot of fun to talk to you on a Monday. And again, congratulations, Warriors.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you again.
Sounds good.